Hi, this is Dr. Michelle Robin with Small Changes, Big Shifts. And I believe if you'll change one thing a month, the next 12 months, you'll change your life forever. Thanks for joining me on the journey. Today on Small Changes, Big Shifts, I'm chatting with Lisa Cooper in Dondi, Dallin. We're going to go from chatting about ways we stay connected with our loved ones as they move on from this current lifetime, as well as figuring out some tools to help us enjoy our loved ones while we're in this lifetime together. Stay tuned. This month, Small Changes, Big Shifts is powered by Your Wellness Connection in Shawnee, Kansas. Both centers have multiple modalities: chiropractic, acupuncture, functional medicine practitioners, massage therapy, life coaches, as well as movement arts. Both places are sacred spaces where you can come and connect with practitioners to help you on your journey, to find out what's right for you, and to help guide you. I would encourage you to check them out at yourwellnessconnection.com. This week on Small Changes, Big Shifts, I'm chatting with author Lisa Cooper. Her book, You Are My Voice, How Love's Voice Never Dies, was inspired by her spiritual awakenings about life beyond the physical world that she experienced after her mother's death. Lisa shares personal stories of dreams, signs, and discoveries, demonstrating that death is not the end of life, rather just another way of being. Our loved ones continue to love us, share our experiences, and provide help along our life's journey, even after they pass on. Such a powerful message as we're heading into the holiday season. Stay tuned. Lisa, welcome to Small Changes, Big Shifts.
Thank you, Dr. Robin. It is a pleasure to be on the show today.
Well, I love sharing wonderful people with our listeners, and what a perfect time of year to be sharing your message. Tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and what your story is about.
Sure. I'm an author, an inspirational speaker, and a grief advocate. And my mission, Michelle, is to help people discover how love never dies by sharing the experiences I had with my mother since she passed away a few years ago. I came out with a book called You Are My Voice, How Love's Voice Never Dies, about a year and a half ago. And interestingly enough, I like to call myself an accidental writer because I never really dreamed I would write a book. My background's in strategic marketing and advertising. But after my mother passed away, I had so many unusual occurrences that I started to write down, and frankly, for my own healing, and perhaps even to share with my family. But as the unusual occurrences continued to happen, and I had so much hope and so much peace about what happens after someone passes away, I knew I needed to share this message with other people.
What a perfect time of year to be sharing that message as people are rustling through maybe their first Christmas without, or their first holiday season without somebody close to them that they absolutely adored and loved. So you mentioned hearing and having these things happen. Tell me an example of one of the stories of something that happened.
Right. You know, and as I mentioned, my background's in marketing. So I always like to say too, I'm a very left brain, logical brain individual. So when things did start happening to me, you know, I looked at everything from a logical and very pragmatic perspective. But what was happening was not logical. And it really challenged left brain thinking. But being true to myself, I made an outline of all these things that began to occur. And primarily, the two categories, if you will, of discoveries of how I discovered how love never dies were via dreams and signs from my mother. So slow but sure, I was moving from left brain logic Lisa to more of a right brain, creative, open-hearted individual that was able to really receive the language of spirit. So what does that mean? Particularly after someone passes away, we often have dreams, and frankly, the dreams are visits. And I discovered this for myself about 2 weeks after she passed away, when I began having what a lot of people call lucid dreams, where you particularly, it's almost like you're communicating telepathically with someone who has passed away. In my case, I still needed a little bit of proof that this was not just a figment of my imagination. So my mother had actually imparted knowledge about the sale of their home and particulars regarding my father's new home and decorating and even dates. So one of the advice I give to people in workshops when we talk about dream visits and opening our hearts to dreams, I say is to keep a dream journal. Because quite frankly, if you could write down so much of what our intuition and so much of what our loved ones are trying to convey to us. So many messages come through, Michelle, that is just mind-boggling from an everyday world perspective. So particularly, I call these two main discoveries of How Love Never Dies with dreams and signs. And as I mentioned with the dreams, as I looked back and as I put the book together of all the different categories of dreams that occurred, they came in what I call different silos. For example, the first silo or category of dreams that happened to me were what I call the healing dreams. And this particularly, about 2 weeks after my mother passed away, and I should mention it was fairly quickly, she had some surgery and developed, I'm sure you might have heard of MRSA, the hospital bacteria infections that you can acquire in a hospital setting. So frankly, about 2 weeks after she passed, or she had the surgery, she passed away. So it was fairly quickly, and shortly after she died, I began having these dreams where she would come to me and say she was healed, she was walking again, and most importantly, she was always around and always in my life. But as I mentioned, I still needed proof. I always say I grew up in Missouri, which is the show me state, so you kind of have a little bit of that I got to see it to believe it mentality. And what happened again was once I started getting more dreams where she was actually advising me about particular instances in my life, giving specifics regarding, for example, at one point I was working on a fairly large philanthropic event here in Kansas City, and we were down to the wire on planning and organizing this particular event. And it was one of those things where we had an entertainer that was performing, and the songs and the logistics were still outstanding 2 weeks prior. And in the dream, interestingly enough, my mother came to me in the dream, handed the song sheet, and which I could read and see in my dream. The specifics were outlined, and the next morning, everything was confirmed with the agent. So once again, just examples of how our loved ones are still around us, even though they're not in the physical. And as I continued on my journey of discovery, if you will, a whole other category of signs began to appear. And another thing I will mention too is that as I was going through all these different experiences with dreams and signs, I was very careful not to read a lot of other books about this kind of thing, about life after death, about after-death communication, because I wanted my message to people to be very, very pure in terms of my experiences. But slow but sure, more signs began to appear. And when I say signs, these are what I will call unexplained coincidences, but yet now I can tell you for a fact that I do not believe in coincidences anymore. So really what they are signs are arranged synchronicities that our loved ones can arrange from the other side of where they are in their non-physical to let us know that we're okay. And you know, I've had so many signs. I'll give you one example that I thought was, once again, it gave me a lot of proof and gave me a lot of that see it to believe it realistic proof. I called it the miracle on the laptop screen. And one night, it was about a month after she passed away, and I had my computer and I turned it off for the evening and left our, you know how you have your desktop icons, you know, still on, but you've signed out of all your emails and Facebook or whatever else you might be on that evening. And I had a very strong feeling to go back in and look at my laptop. It was almost as if I heard a sign or a feeling in my heart that said, I've left a message for you on your computer. So I went back into the room where I have my home office. I walked in, and on my computer screen was the Amazon book website. And immediately, of course, I was pretty shocked. I made sure that no one had touched my computer. My daughter was sound asleep. My husband was downstairs working, so no one had touched my laptop. And on the screen was a book called Downward Dog, Upward Fog. And interestingly enough, I did not type in that book. There was no way I could have, didn't even know about the book. But I began, of course, to read about it. I thought this must be some sort of psychic book recommendation, so I better take a look at it closer. And interestingly enough, it was about a woman who had a career in marketing. And once she experienced a tragic incident via a death of passing of her sister, she was able to open her heart to the language of spirit and open her heart to a very right brain, creative way of thinking. Well, of course, this resonated with me. You know, no coincidence. We both had a marketing career, and I did yoga and read a lot of books about grief and different spiritual topics, but yet I might have been in a bit of a fog because I wasn't 100% opening my heart to the language of spirit. So that was a huge aha moment for me, and that was probably one of the biggest signs that I had shortly after her passing that let me know that death is often a change of worlds. And so many times I think in our society, you know, death is such a taboo topic, and we often don't even always know what to say to someone when they've lost a loved one. But I will say that the experiences I've had with the dreams and the signs have convinced me without a doubt that the energy of love can never possibly die. It can never possibly die. And, you know, I've been really fortunate over the last year to do different workshops around the Midwest. And I am finding that so many people have held their stories inside their hearts for so long. They've been perhaps uncomfortable sharing. They felt like maybe it was a figment of their imagination. But they've come to my workshops and shared their stories. And it's almost like a bearing witness to a new way of thinking. And the stories that I'm hearing from people are so gratifying because it just once again proves that energy, we are energy. We are, as you know, spiritual beings occupying a human body, and the consciousness of our souls can never, ever possibly die. So the dreams I've had with my mom and the signs that I continue to get from her are just another example of how that energy and how that consciousness can never possibly go away.
Well, you bring up a lot of wonderful things. I think, first of all, that it was kind of sudden. So people can have a sudden death. They can have an extensive disease condition where it's a prolonged death. So a couple things we'd like to do. We'd like to celebrate, guide, connect, and provide hope. And I think that you just gave all that in a short spill, but I want to kind of dive in a little bit deeper. So we've got people who may not know how to really interpret, or they're wishing that they are hearing messages from somebody. And I just lost a friend recently, and I actually had a dream. And so you're validating for me that the dream was really the energy of our relationship. And there was a song that I had really never heard before that I heard right around the time of her death, and then it played for the first 2 weeks. Every time I got in the car, it was playing.
Oh, and perfect! Absolutely, okay. What a beautiful sign.
And then I've not heard it again for the last 6 weeks. So it's extremely fascinating. So what are some ideas? So here's some guidance for our listeners. What's some guidance that you would give them of how to listen or how to really feel like it truly is a message?
For dreams, the first thing I always say to everyone, and obviously D for dream, but D is also decide to receive. And I think this is big because we really need to choose to connect. I think that we can go through our days very, very busy, and we need to be able to, I always love to say, be a human being versus a human doing. And to be a human being, that means opening our heart and opening our heart to love, and also taking the time. And, you know, you mentioned the word celebrating ourselves, celebrating our own spirits. I think that with the dreams, for example, deciding to receive, celebrating in the fact that we all have the ability to connect with our loved ones. It's not a special gift that one person has or another. We all have it, and we need to celebrate that in ourselves. I often say with dreams, relax and restore our spirit is like the R in dream, because number one, relaxing and restoring our spirit before we often even go to bed can help your brain increase the likelihood of a visit. And I know this is what worked for me, and I would hope that it might work for others, but particularly, what I've come to understand is that in our brains, we only use about 1%. So we've got all that other brain matter, 99% of potential that we really don't even use or don't even know how to use. So if we can relax ourselves and our brains before we go to sleep at night, that's when I've found the likelihood of a dream visit increases potential. And people often say, well, how do you relax and restore your brain before you go to bed? How do you do it? For me particularly, I think it's sitting and breathing. You know, some people like to put on their iPhones. I just recently found out about on Pandora, the Calm Station. Who would have thought there was a Calm Station? But if you can put on the Calm Station, C-A-L-M, it is a wonderful tool for 5 to 10 minutes at night to sit and breathe and listen to, whether it's the ocean or raindrops or whatever you're particularly like, it's a way to calm our spirits. And if we can do that before we go to sleep, our brains can download our days while we're awake. And then when we're sleeping, we're open to spirit. We're open to the language of spirit. And I mentioned before that I didn't read any books about this kind of topic until I finished my own book. But after I did finish and after I did have the book was out and published, I did a lot of research and talked to a lot of authors about their dream experiences and their experiences with signs. And what I've also found too, a lot of people, by just taking time, another tool is to write a letter to yourself to relax. And maybe it's a thing that happens every month or even every year to relax your spirit, writing a letter and celebrating yourself and really just being in the moment. So that's a long answer to that question, but.
Well, I think that's some really great wisdom, deciding that you're open. I really love that you said that, deciding you're open to the connection. And one thing that we really like to use at our place is something called Brain Tap. It's a technology, guided meditation to really help you relax. And I love that. Some exciting new stuff coming out in January where people will be able to access the app for a much more reasonable price. But what's really nice is to really go into that deeper state so that you're able to get a better night's sleep, to have more fresh connection. So really great wisdom. I'm curious, through this experience the last few years, what kind of small change, big shift has changed you the most?
I think one of the biggest changes I've made that is a small change but has been a big shift for me personally is to take the time, whether it's 5 or 10 minutes, every single morning and every single night before I go to sleep, take the time to breathe, take the time, I set my intention for the day, and I just really, and some people can call it, you can call it fancy terms of meditation, others can just call it relaxing, but if I can take that time and a small shift of my day to be a human being and not be a human doing, that has changed me dramatically. And I would say that, you know, when my mother made her transition in 2011, her transition really honestly was a transformation for me to become more of a human being. And part of that is, as you know, so many of us are fueled by fear. We're fueled by worry, and we're fueled by what happened yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's a human doing. But if we can make the shift to be a human being and be in the moment and let the worry go and spend some time to really go within and open our heart to the 99% of things that are out there that we really can't see, feel, hear, or touch, then the world is such a whole new place. And that's a big change.
Yes, I've been following. Wayne Dyer said that many, many years ago, and I really resonated with some of his message. So I'm glad that you re-brought that up. So as we bring our show to a close, I'm curious on a couple things. First of all, tell our listeners how they can connect with you and learn more about your message.
Yes, my website is youaremyvoice.com, which is the name of my book. youaremyvoice.com spelled out. They can also email me at lisa@youaremyvoice.com. And Facebook, my Facebook fan page is facebook.com/LisaKCooperAuthor. And then, of course, Twitter, LisaKCooperKC. And on my website, I also will indicate we've got different events coming up, different workshops coming up. We can sign up for the monthly newsletter with the holidays coming up soon. In my December newsletter, I just mentioned a couple of tips that would try to help people if they're grieving the loss of a loved one this holiday season. And part of that, as we discussed earlier, is to really sense your senses. And another part of that is to take some time and be. So in my monthly newsletter, I really try to provide tips to folks to really help them open their hearts to connect.
Such good wisdom for our listeners today. You know, I'm just thinking about some people who are celebrating the first holiday season without somebody that they've celebrated mm-hmm. years for. Maybe it's a wife, a mother, a brother, a father, and or a child. And I'm just, your message is timely for that. And I just want to mm-hmm. send them extra hugs and extra love.
Absolutely. What
would you encourage? Maybe there's a tradition, like maybe there's a stocking or there's a favorite ornament or something. How would you encourage them to share that experience this year?
Okay. I think, you know, interestingly enough, a year ago I was talking to a friend of mine and they had just lost a loved one. And they said, I'm not going to put up a tree this year. And we talked and I said, no, celebrate them. Go on with your traditions. And it's important, you know, with the information that I have learned and the new expertise or wisdom that I feel like I've garnered with Love Never Dies, our loved ones want us to be happy. They want us to celebrate. They want us to increase our energy, to raise our vibrations. And I think one of the most important things we can do this holiday season are do nourish your happiness daily. And, you know, what that means is what makes you happy. And if it makes you happy to walk and talk to your loved one like they are walking next to you, do it. If it makes you happy to cook the recipes that your mother cooked, even though she's no longer around, cook them, because that celebrates their spirit, that honors their spirit. And by honoring their spirit and doing that, you make yourself happier. And most likely, they know what's going on. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Lisa Cooper, thanks for sharing on Small Changes, Big Shifts today. Just encourage our listeners to check you out at your website and have a really blessed holiday season.
You too. And thank you, Dr. Robin.
Also joining me today on Small Changes, Big Shifts is Dondi Dallin. Dondi is the author of The 5 Elements, Personality Type Systems. Dondi also co-wrote The Little Book of Energy Medicine with her mother, Donna Eden, and heads the teacher program at the Eden Energy Medicine Certification Program in Phoenix, Arizona. From 2001 to 2008, Dondi taught The 5 Elements at the renowned Feather Pipe Ranch in Montana. She has been teaching the 5 elements for 13 years at Omega Institute in New York and at various Eden Energy Medicine workshops around the world since the 1990s. As many of you know, I use a holistic approach that was taught to me by Dr. Richard Genny, who's responsible for bringing acupuncture to the United States, not only to chiropractors, but also to veterinarians and various other groups. So I would encourage you to take the 5 Elements quiz on Dondi's website so that as you're going into these holiday celebrations, that maybe it'll help you manage your stress, which will help your overall well-being. Stay tuned. Dondi, welcome to Small Changes, Big Shifts.
Oh, I am so happy to be here today. Thank you, Michelle.
Well, I'm excited to share with our listeners about the 5 elements because part of my training is in Chinese medicine and the whole philosophy of traditional Chinese medicine, which includes the 5 elements.
Yes, it does. The 5 elements are over 2,000 years old, and they're based in Chinese medicine, as you know, and the foundation of acupuncture. Even though they've become a lot more than just a health system, they're also a personality type system.
Well, great. Share with our listeners a little bit about your background and why you are interested in the 5 elements.
I would love to. So my background, I thought was very normal until I grew up and realized it was pretty unique. And that is because my mom is a renowned healer. She's a pioneer in the world of energy medicine. And her name is Donna Eden. And she teaches 9 energy systems in the body. And so I grew up learning about these energy systems, and some of the ones that people are probably more familiar with are the chakras, the meridians, the aura. Well, one of these systems is the 5 elements. So my mom raised my sister and I both in the 5 elements. We used them as a personality type system and a little bit as a health system too. Of course, when you know your element, you know what your health challenges will be. So that's always in your awareness, so to speak. You can use that as a guide. And we grew up in the elements, and by the time I was in my early 20s, I realized how I was using them every single day in my relationships, whether that was at work, with boyfriends, with my father, understanding my parents' divorce, understanding why that relationship didn't make it, which I think I would have been a lot more confused by and hurt by, and I would have taken it personally if I didn't have the 5 elements to guide me and teach me why 2 people might resonate and why they might not resonate. And so by my mid-20s, I wanted to write a book on the 5 elements, and I'm in my late 40s now, and I just got it done.
As they say, better late than never.
Yes. I'm very happy to write this book. And I wrote this book with the help of my mom and sister. My mom wrote the foreword, and my sister wrote the afterword about 5 elements and children, which is fascinating. My sister is a Waldorf teacher, so it's a great chapter in the book. And I wrote this, and we really put it together as a book that we wanted anyone to be able to understand. If somebody was in a bookstore or on Amazon and they saw the book and had no background in Chinese medicine, no background in acupuncture, had never heard of energy medicine, they could still pick up this book and have really incredible, profound, enlightened aha moments from it. So that's how we wrote it.
Well, interesting enough, we just got done chatting with Lisa Cooper, who talks about Love Never Dies and the transition of her mother, and how going from a really strong left brain person, how she started noticing and listening to the messages she was receiving from her mother. And I think that the 5 elements gives us messages.
They do. They give us messages. And one of the biggest messages I have received from them is to not personalize what people say, what they do, what decisions people make in life. I've learned that it's rarely about you. It's more about them and where they are, their strengths, their challenges. Everybody is trying to cope. Some people are really struggling. And instead of walking around in my life taking a lot of things personally, like I could, and I probably would if I didn't have the 5 elements, because of my element, it's an element that tends to take things personally, the water element. Instead, I don't do that because I understand where other people are coming from. If they're a metal, if they're a fire, if they're an earth, what their challenges are. And instead of saying to myself, oh, I can't believe what that lady did, I realize, oh, I totally understand what she did because she's a metal. I understand where she's coming from. And these moments of stress that could really wig me out in life don't wig me out. Or if they do wig me out for a moment, I can always come back to the elements to find my way. The elements are like a road map through life.
Well said. So we're in this holiday season.
Yes.
And some people may need to know what their element is. And then Other people that may be pushing their buttons or whatever word you'd like to use. And you have this great quiz on your website.
Yes, thank you. I have a quiz at learnthefiveelements.com, learnthefiveelements.com. People can go on. It's completely free to take. After they take it, which takes most people about 4 or 5 minutes, they will learn their primary element and their secondary element. And then they'll be able to read about their elements and what that means.
So on this show, as you have listened before, you know, we like to really celebrate others doing great work. So we're celebrating you. At the same time, this is a great way for our listeners to celebrate who they are.
Oh, absolutely. The one of the wonderful aspects about the five elements is this, for people who tend to walk around with low self-esteem, or they beat themselves up for mistakes they've made, or they get depressed, and I'm talking a lot to the waters right now, especially during the holidays. If you're a water type, you may be getting a little blue for the past that isn't around anymore, blue for people that have passed on and aren't with you anymore, blue because it's such a stressful season and you aren't sure how you're going to get through it. The five elements teaches you not only to understand others, but understand yourself and not beat yourself up anymore. Celebrate yourself. Celebrate who you are. Celebrate your individual rhythm, because truly the five elements are rhythms. It's your own vibe. Every musical instrument has a different rhythm and vibe, and so do human beings. And you can start celebrating that. Another element, for example, is the wood element. They can get really angry around the holidays, angry about the lines, angry that things are taking so long, angry that Christmas is over-commercialized. And when you realize that anger is the primary emotion that woods will default to under stress, then you give yourself a little break. Then you aren't beating yourself up the next day saying, oh, I can't believe I was so angry and I was in my car all alone screaming and pounding the steering wheel. Instead of beating yourself up, you just say, you know what? I'm a wood. I needed that moment. I needed to beat up the steering wheel and I needed to get it out. You start to really honor your emotions and, like you said, celebrate yourself.
Well, talk about the five elements. Kind of tell our listeners a little bit more about them.
Yes, so they're incredible. As I said, they're over 2,000 years old. They come from China, and that is the system that I've studied, the Chinese system. There are also elements from India and other countries, but my mom taught my sister and I the Chinese five elements. It is theorized that they're probably around 5,000 years old, but they were written into Chinese text around 2,000 years ago. They came up through the ages in Asia, and then they were actually suppressed by Chairman Mao. Chairman Mao, as most people know, was this leader who came into Asia, into China, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, up into the 60s, and he wanted to control society. He wanted everybody to think the same, be the same, act the same, eat their rice at the same time. And he suppressed a lot of the arts. He suppressed history. He destroyed historic buildings. He suppressed feng shui, acupuncture, Chinese medicine. He actually redid Chinese medicine completely and added his own aspects to it and made it so everybody would kind of be studying the same thing. But it left some gaps. It left some gaps about people being individuals. And that's what the five elements is. The five elements are showing us that we're all individuals. We all perceive life differently. We all see and hear things differently. And, you know, that sounds like a no-brainer, but when you really sink into that, it is profound. Because then rather needing to hear something the way you hear it and assume that everyone else hears the words the same way or the meaning or the conversation the same way, they don't. Everyone hears it differently. Everybody sees it differently. That alone can make communication better. So communication becoming more smoother and becoming better and becoming healthier is just one perk of the five elements. And briefly, the five elements are water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. Water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. And these are metaphors for your personality. These are metaphors for how you will behave, how you will do under pressure, whether you're good at listening or following directions, or you're a creative person with high intuition. And once you start to know this and know the people around you and what their elements Oh my gosh, it gives you so much compassion for yourself and for others. That is something else about the elements, that you gain so much compassion. It's not about putting people into a box or categorizing them. It's that when I realize, let's say I start arguing with an earth type, if I didn't know they were an earth type, I might be very stressed out by that argument. I might think, wow, why didn't she see it like I saw it? Oh my gosh, I can't believe she said this. But earth types and wood types, which is my other element, are very, very different. So I know an earth person needs a little bit more sensitivity around words. I know to treat them with gentle tones in my voice. It's a great tool to have. It's just a great tool. And by the way, most people have two strong elements. So I didn't want to confuse anyone by saying I'm a water and a wood. Most people have two. And it makes it even more rich, because then you have two elements you can access and two elements that you can work from.
Well, as we're going into, like I said, we're in this holiday season.
Yes.
What would be some strategies or some guidance that you could maybe give our listeners on the spot without knowing their types? Besides to log in to .com and know your type before you go to a family event.
Yes. So here's what I say to everybody across the board, and then I'll talk a little bit about the types. No matter what type you are, this holiday season, if you find yourself getting rattled, someone's pushing your buttons, you're getting frustrated, whether you're in the grocery store or you're with your family sitting around the dinner table, everybody can benefit from just stopping. Give yourself a time out. Excuse yourself from the dinner table. Cut out of the grocery store. Give yourself 3 or 4 minutes to just breathe and not say anything, because most of the time when we're stressed, not very nice words are going to come out of our mouth. So that's what I would say for all the types. Just remember that simple word, stop. Just stop, give yourself a time out, and go regroup. Now for the different elements, for water elements, a lot of waters lose their energy. It's a very common thing, and once people start studying the five elements, they'll understand why. It's about how their health is made up. But they often lose their energy, so they're the ones at family holiday functions who by the afternoon are wanting to lay down on the couch and take a nap. Well, Aunt Doris might be offended by that, might be offended by the person taking the nap, might think, wow, why isn't she helping with the dishes? Why isn't she helping prepare the meal? But once you know you're a water type, and this is very common and there's nothing wrong with it, you'll be able to handle your kind of dip in energy better, whether that's taking some vitamins or herbs or getting outside in the fresh air. Just know that you do have that dip in energy. For the wood person is bound to get frustrated during the holidays and with family, and they like to move quickly. Woods are urgent people. They like to move ahead. So just remember, woods, not everybody is going the same speed as you. And for you to take a couple of minutes to slow down, to sink into the joy of the season, the Christmas lights, the music, find something that can just help you take a step back and not be so urgent and so hurried. Because you know what? You do well under pressure, but other people don't do well when they see you under pressure. So that's what I'll say to the woods, and especially around the family gatherings. The fire person is the life of the party, and people love having a fire around. They love it during the holidays because fires bring joy. They often bring food and drink with them. They're the ones to decorate the tree, and everything is beautiful, and they're happy, and they're telling jokes. But fires can panic. They can panic if, you know, food is low and somebody forgot to bring the mashed potatoes, or they can panic if the store is closing and they have only 5 minutes left to get there. So again, coming back to this, every element does well to take a time out for themselves, remember it is the holiday season. And what is the holiday season about? It's about connection between people, celebration. You know, if a fire is panicking, they aren't going to connect with people. So fires, take a breath. The earth people, next element is earth, and earth's, oh my gosh, they also are people that other people love having around because they're caretakers, they're compassionate, they're peaceful people, but they can tend to over-worry during the holidays. They'll worry about those people living out on the streets who may not have a home. They'll worry about all the animals left in the cold. They worry, worry, worry. So the best thing for an earth during the holidays is to service others, to volunteer, to serve meals to the homeless, to volunteer driving around. There are companies that drive around and help to get the stray birds and the stray animals during the cold, cold weather. And for earths to service others, it makes all the difference for them. And finally, metal, the last element. Metals, you know, they're similar, like waters. They have some similarities, that the holidays come and waters can get quite sad. Well, metals can feel some real grief. And metals don't always talk about this. They tend to be the silent type. They're kind of on a solo journey. They may not even show up for the family functions. But if you know that your brother is a metal type, you won't blame him anymore for not showing up for all the family functions. You'll know, oh, metals are on a solo journey, and they have to come back to themselves, and they need to be alone, and they can feel grief during the holidays, and sometimes they process that grief all alone, and you don't metaphorically beat them up anymore. And if you're a metal, you don't beat yourself up anymore because you understand that. Metals are amazing people, and they really meet life where it's at, but they can go into this grief. So to help stay connected to people, they do want to stretch themselves. And if they feel like they don't want to go to the big social events, then they can make a phone call to a friend, a phone call to the family, and keep communicating through it. So that's a little nutshell just about some of the challenges that the elements may face during the holidays.
That was a ton of wisdom in a short amount of time. Well, I just want to remind our listeners that they can go to your website and take the quiz. You know, I love how you talk about the different elements and how they work together. It takes all of us to get through this life, right?
It absolutely does. And you know, like I've said before, but it bears repeating, the more you know the elements, the less judgment you have of others and of yourself, the more free you feel. And I can tell a quick story about a time that I could have had a lot of judgment towards someone when I was in my 20s. And I talk about this in the book. I had a very dear friend, one of my best friends, died a very tragic death. And I went to see her mom. It was the first time I was visiting her mom after the death happened. And I was anticipating how I was going to talk to her mom. I knew I would hold her. I knew I would let her cry. I knew she'd probably be a basket case. Well, I drove up to the house. Her mom glided out to me, came through the gate, came to the car. No tears, a little smile, put her arms around me and said, "Let's talk, let's go in the house." And the entire time I visited, she allowed me to talk. She gave me great wisdom. Well, that's a metal. That's how metals kind of, they deal with grief very, very differently than the rest of us. And there could be judgment around that. You know, someone could think, "Wow, isn't she upset? Isn't she crying?" Well, metals don't always cry. Metals process grief and sadness and catastrophe with a different type of vibe than the other elements. And this goes for all the elements. So the elements taught me very early on not to judge anybody by their cover, but to know that we have our own ways of processing life. And that really helped me to connect with people.
Once again, wonderful wisdom to go into the holiday season, especially, you know, I'm thinking about being at some memorial services recently, and sometimes you even judge yourself. You think, gosh, why am I not bawling? And it, like you said, it's just a different, you have a different way you show up in the world.
Yes. And nothing is wrong with the different ways that people cope, as long as they aren't, you know, physically or emotionally abusing somebody else. There's nothing wrong with a water, you know, retreating into their room and shutting the door, or a metal being alone. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up the show. And here's my question for you, as I kind of tell our listeners how they can connect with you. The challenge I'm going to give to you in just a minute is to give our listeners a challenge, a small change challenge for the next week to implement to really enhance their well-being. So that's the question I'm going to have for you in just a second. But I want to remind our listeners, they can check you out at learnthefiveelements.com. You have your energy minutes that you have every Wednesday. You also have the free 5-element quiz, and they can also pick up a copy of your book there. So I want to remind our listeners that they can find Dondi at that website. So Dondi, as we wrap up, what small change challenge would you encourage our listeners to implement over the next week?
This is fabulous. So I'm going to bring up one that I talked about at the beginning of this show, and it seems so simple and so easy, but it is one of the most difficult ones. It will really grow you as a person this holiday season, and always when you're frustrated, when someone has pushed your button, when you feel like you want to bite someone's head off, stop. The word is stop. Give yourself a timeout, excuse yourself from the situation, and then go off and do what you need to do. If it's shutting your eyes for 30 seconds, if it's counting to 10, if it's just breathing in a corner and visualizing something beautiful, just stop, because you need to diffuse that anger. So it will diffuse stress during this time of the year, and you can connect with people better.
All right. So you've got your challenges next week. When you're feeling anxious, stressed, disconnected, stop just for a few minutes, go within, take a deep breath, and then you will hopefully avoid saying or doing some things that you wish you wouldn't have.
Yes, yes. And you aren't allowed to replay in your head how you're going to get the other person. You just need to stop and try and just sink into the moment, sink into how you can come back and speak kindly and see the other person's point of view. And I think that will take you far.
Well, great. Dondi, thanks for sharing your wisdom on small changes, big shifts. And to our listeners, have a phenomenal holiday, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thank you so much.
I sure appreciate you listening to Small Changes, Big Shifts. If you go to our website, drmichellerobin.com, we'll have the show notes for you there. If this episode inspired you to make a small change that will lead to a big shift, please share it with a friend, and feel free to leave us a rating or review on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe so you'll catch our episode next week. Blessings to you.